everybody. Welcome back to Pack Your Mics, the Top Chef podcast from the creators of Read It and Weep. My name is Alex Falcone. I'm here in Portland with Megan.
Hello.
And joining us in Brooklyn are Tanya and Chris.
Hey there.
Hi.
And also we have today in the Bay Area, it's Ezra and Sarah and a little Caleb.
Howdy.
Hello. Just a little bit of one.
Hey, let's welcome. It's so exciting to be talking about Top Chef again with you guys. I'm really looking forward to it. We had season 12, episode 2, some interesting stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Well.
All right, well, that'll turn into a controversial topic, I guess, whether or not episode 2 is interesting.
I vote yes.
I vote yes, too.
Yeah, my general feeling is yes, although still, like interesting, not always good.
Yeah, well, I guess I could get overruled by a cool judge, so maybe we'll hear how this goes later on.
We might wait for that. Let's just jump right into it today, you guys. Let's start with talking about the quickfire. I'll start out with in Brooklyn and hear what you guys have to say because you're not sure if it was interesting or not. So quickfire today, one if by land, two if by sea, the ridiculous Bostonian surf and turf conceit.
You know, I was thinking, what are they going to work in to Boston? Like, are we going to have a food challenge somehow themed on Paul Revere? Thinking,
right?
Of course not. It's not just horses and sprinting.
Right.
And
there's no horse meat challenge on Top Chef.
And yet they found a really hackneyed way to bring in a fun challenge element. This was something that reminds me of the circular conveyor belt from that one season.
Yes. Nice. A little bit like that. Mm-hmm.
Where it's like they're cooking and then something happens that not everybody notices.
Yeah. I do like an element in play that is just there to like make one person really upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like somebody gets dried crab snacks.
Although that guy with the bandana and the dried crab snacks,
Adam
was upset because he didn't see the second light go off, which would be a reasonable thing. But everybody else in the kitchen sprinted across the room? How did you miss that part?
Yeah.
You ever play
also,
that game Spoons?
It felt like Spoons. Yeah,
yeah.
I was going to say, if you've never played Spoons, then I guess this is something that could conceivably happen. Otherwise, you're just an idiot.
Yeah. basic strategy for Spoons, by the way, is don't worry about the game. Just watch for somebody grabbing the first spoon.
Yes.
Yeah,
here's the problem,
play.
Though. If everyone you're playing with has that strategy, then the game doesn't end ever.
Because everyone's just passing. Tragedy of the
comments. I'm still playing one game of Spoons from before.
Do you guys ever play Extreme Spoons, where all the spoons are in another room?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's intense.
Or just in opposite corners of the same room.
I thought you were going to say they had the spikes on them,
yeah,
or
you ever
bombs
play, yeah,
or something.
Forks?
Oh, yeah, or knives. Yeah, that's a different
game. You ever play card games with munitions?
You just replace the spoons with leaky batteries and just go to town.
Extreme
spoons. Today.
I know.
Yeah.
Tommy, do you like the quickfire?
It's fine. I don't know. I mean, I liked that they worked pretty hard to get this together with all the lights and the twinklings.
I just got this. Holy crap.
Oh boy. What happened?
At the end of the quickfire, Todd English is coming. The British are coming.
I was really afraid that you were like, oh, the lights were for Paul Revere's lamp. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, no. Or like all the ingredients were actually horse meat.
Oh, I get it. By sea is when they did the surf part.
You guys, do you think there's going to be a tea challenge?
Ooh,
yeah.
Now that Revere is on the table, I feel like anything can happen.
Anything goes, man.
The Boston Strangler? Is that?
Yeah, do you think Goodwill Hunting's on the table?
Just apples.
Yeah.
I want to see if you like apples or not.
Yeah. Applesauce.
I gotta go see a girl about a pie.
I think that the challenge ended up being kind of weird in that you had three land ingredients and one sea ingredient, and a lot of people kind of like got, I don't know, kind of skated on the sea thing. Like Joy, who did not do well, but her surf part was just sea salt.
Yeah, that was some bullshit.
It's certainly allowed, but it's also
you just gotta get there first to get what you want.
Yeah, and some of the land ingredients were like, you know, onions or mushrooms. You know, it wasn't all.
It wasn't a
protein.
Sea onion or a sea mushroom, though, Chris. So I don't know what you can complain about.
Or a sea cucumber.
Yeah, that is an entirely different
type
of salad,
though, right?
Yeah, there was some anemone, some uni.
Yeah, there was uni.
Also, there were dried crab snacks, which might be like the booby prize of this episode.
But he did well, right?
Yeah, used to great effect.
Yeah,
he didn't top in the quickfire, but he didn't bottom.
He didn't bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the same as doing great with this many chefs. It's like being in the middle could mean a lot of things. But yeah. Padma did not spit out the dried crab snack, which is a good sign.
No, although she did ask if she was supposed to eat it.
Yeah. Is this a tiny dried crab garnish?
And I love that he wasn't like, yeah, I actually think this is a great crunch element. He was like, I ate it a while ago and I'm not dead.
Yes,
so.
Okay.
He was also not excited about the dried crab snack. Although that's weird because that's a sea ingredient, but definitely the driedness came from the land. So
Yeah, you're very moist on sea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but wet crab snacks would be disgusting.
That's cat food.
Wet crab snacks.
How do you guys feel about the announcement that there would be a $5,000 prize and no immunity this week?
I think they're being pretty pointed about leaving immunity out.
I thought to myself, Alex will be very happy with that.
Mm-hmm. I love that there's no immunity, but I was a little upset by the way she said there's no immunity this time or this week. Which I'm suggesting that it might rear its ugly head here. And
yeah, right.
Something.
It's
you know what
like
they're
saying,
probably
like,
going to do is they're probably going to have cash prizes up until like there are like six people left, and then they'll start with the immunity.
Yeah. No, I think I think they'll have Nick like come back for like the last couple of episodes, and that's when the immunity will strike.
See, Alex, I think heartbreak's actually brewing because I think just. Whoever has the most money at the end of this will be able to buy immunity because that's how the real world works.
Oh, you think that just that rich people can get around the law?
Yeah, yeah. They're just like, hey, you, I'll give you $10,000 to take this bullet from me and say it's your fault. And they're like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm like, all right, this person's not Top Chef anymore, but you're still on the show.
Let's jump into the elimination now because there's a lot going on in this elimination.
Oh, my goodness.
So the main elimination challenge that we saw, of course, was just make a dish using a surprise basket. It was a pretty loose, the theme was first responders, so you have to respond to the basket we give you.
I feel uncomfortable with any kind of connection.
I know, I really wish they'd stop trying to shoehorn that in.
But first fire. Team challenge of the season, what do we get? We get a knife block.
We do get a knife block, that's pretty great.
Totally.
Super stoked about that.
Of course. And I just give you your props, Chris, because last week during our prediction segment, you did predict the knife block was coming back this week.
Boom. So.
You get 1 point.
Nicely done.
1 point, yeah. Who's packing mic points?
Is this whose line?
Yeah, one pack your mic point. Point your mic, pack your point. Anyway, you've got a point.
Yeah. Later on, you can use that to make someone else go home for you.
Or you can just pack your points and go.
I don't think there's immunity for me, ever.
Yeah, no, Chris, you get immunity today.
Not this
today.
Time, Chris.
Not this week, Chris. There's
you get $5,000.
Oh. 5,000 notional pack your mics dollars.
Mike bucks.
I love it.
So Chris, you got your mic bucks, but so we had knife block. It's a good start, but from the minute the knife block concluded, it was just we went straight to Drama City.
Mm-hmm.
We jumped on the bus to Drama Town.
Yeah, population Aaron and Carrie Ann.
Yeah.
Aaron and Carrie Ann are not great people, but they got put on opposite sides of something within the same team, or just found opposite things.
Yeah, it's funny to say opposite sides because, like, in theory, they both had the same goal, which is I don't want to go home, but they could not find a middle ground there.
Yeah, they were on opposite sides of Stacy also.
Yeah. Oh, did we ever say, sorry to backtrack, but it was James who won the quickfire. James, who we had not really met last episode.
Patrick Swayze enthusiast, right?
Yes.
Yeah, James are.
What did he say about Patrick Swayze? That he was...
He admired his
craftsmanship and commitment to excellence.
Right.
Commitment to excellence.
I really, I don't know, guys. That warmed my heart. He was like, James is like, I know it's kind of weird, but I really like Patrick Swayze. And I think I'm all for that, man. I'm all for it, too.
I just didn't realize that about Patrick Swayze before, that he had a commitment to excellence.
That's not the first thing that comes to my mind when you think of Patrick Swayze.
I mean, I did like Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
It was
pretty excellent.
It was pretty excellent, yeah.
But was it because of commitment? Yeah. Maybe it was other reasons.
I really liked his performance in Donnie Darko.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He was
but also,
a chop molester, right?
Yeah, he sure was.
Yeah.
But I committed, also, and he did it excellently.
He played the part well.
But I like the way that the camera kind of zooms in on his Swayze tattoo makes me feel like they were just like shooting that morning, and then like one of the camera people was like, "Hey, so he has a Swayze tattoo. Does somebody want to like prompt him to talk about this at some point?"
If Blaze had been here, he would have been like, "We need to talk about the Swayze tattoo."
Yeah, and then he would have been like, "I am not a fan."
Yeah, his favorite tattoos.
Excellence. Tattoos.
So now jumping in back to the to Blondie versus Douche Hat. So I hated Hat from last week. He was a jerk in week one. He took an early lead on enemy this season.
He's not here to make friends.
No, he is absolutely the worst. How do you guys feel about Carrie Ann? Do you feel like
we should preface? Sorry, this conversation. If anyone is saying that Douche Hat is the better person, we might need a timeout.
Oh, so you think it's an easy question that he is much worse than she is?
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like they were both communicating poorly, but he was bringing a lot more like aggression to the interaction.
Yeah,
in the edit that we saw.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, but and we can also think about how he acted on the first episode with his comment about the salad, which was really mean.
Yeah, straight out
necessary.
Yeah, I was just being devil's advocate, wanted to hear all of your opinions, but I completely agree as well. He was the worst. And she, I actually feel really bad for her because I am a person who can be, I don't know, dragged into ugliness by the wrong personality type. And so I feel like that was just her weakness, was she responded to Douche badly, and that is all of her, but she seems like she actually could work with other people, just not him. And it kind of looks like they both can't play well with others, but it was really just her response to him is bad.
Yeah.
But all of that said, I think the hero in all of this situation is Stacy.
Yeah.
Let me stay out of this and cook chicken, Stacy.
No worries. I'll just cook some chicken excellently and see you guys later.
Actually, it's so great because everyone's just like, is she going to cook the chicken all right? Is the chicken going to be okay? And she's like, the chicken's going to be fine, guys. And the chicken's like, Stacy, this chicken was great. Everything else was a shit show.
I know, and I love that they were all like fiddling with their garnishes and like stressing out about her chicken.
Right.
Well, clearly my pile of corn and raw onion is perfect.
Yeah, they were
chicken coming?
They were trying to have a proxy battle in chicken land.
And she's just, well, I mean, huge props to Stacy for just being able to focus during all of that, to not get dragged into it.
Yeah, she saved her team, and therefore she saved this drama for
I will
next
say,
week.
You're right.
The
that's
edit
actually,
did make
actually,
it.
Oh, yeah, it is Stacy's fault, I guess.
You're right. That's a downside to this. I thought it was great of her, but now that you mention it, if she had just phoned it in, done an adequate job, Douche Hat has gone home, clearly.
Well, I don't know if it's a slam dunk, dude.
Oh, I think Tom was madder about the agar-agar than he was the bad. Like, the bad corn, like,
bad
he was
corn
upset.
With bad onions.
Yeah, totally bad, and too much raw onion is a easy mistake. You got to know better than that. That's
there was the great line though. It was like, this is a team that wasn't communicating at all except through onions. I got this great sort of like tin can like string methodology going on in my mind with like just onions with attached. Just like you talk to the one onion.
Well, so onions. This just classic, one upsmanship with onions.
This is a classic Top Chef problem, Brooklyn. I want to hear your opinion. Which is the bigger sin? The corn with raw onion or a terrible agar-agar jelly.
Comes up every season, seems like.
I think, I would even pull back further and say that messing up a vegetable is never as bad a sin as messing up a protein, which is why they didn't end up on the chopping block for real.
Plants aren't people, man.
Yeah. And plants
are
also not baby cows.
They could have been.
Veals are much closer to people.
Yeah, in the ballpark. Aww.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like thinking about it that way.
It's too real for you.
It's a super good point. But so if they had lost, which is worse, messing up the corn salad or also?
I still think that the agar agar was the worst. Because they were so decisively like he just didn't know how to do this at all, like there was just no reason to have even gone there. And also another great Tom line was like, you could have just made a jam.
Yeah,
like you didn't even need the agar agar. Like
2 hours,
you had enough time to just make a jam, dude.
You had a great pickle.
And a great pickle to go with that burger.
What I think both, we hear this all the time, like, you had 2 hours, how did you only do this? And this is a great time where I have no idea how the two of them spent their time, because both of those are real quick things.
I think it would take me about 2 hours to make a shitty chorizo jam. I think that's about right for me.
But you had agar-agar. That speeds the process up.
And you have to, like, cool it down and heat it up 5 times.
Too. Yeah, that's a shitty part of it.
That seems important.
Megan, what are you saying?
Oh, they were micromanaging the chicken.
That's right. Yeah, the chicken. Problem.
And they're fighting.
Yeah,
it was only because of their joint input that the chicken was as good as it was.
All that great,
I have to say,
that's why
the way that
the way that that edit worked, Top Chef mistakes, like that, the other team that was on the bottom where Joy was eventually, where she eventually left, like none of them tasted the final dish.
Classic error of just agreeing with each other and not being good chefs.
Yeah, so it's like the one team fought the entire time and didn't make any food, and then the other team didn't taste the food that they were like, oh, I'm sure your food tastes amazing. It looks like food.
It
looks so like... pretty. Of course it worked.
That's such a, it's so sad for me because I like Joy better, but obviously than both of those two. But it's so hard to feel bad for someone if you've watched Top Chef before. You went to a team challenge and you didn't taste the dish together, and you relegated your opinion behind somebody else.
Here's the thing. Those two things wouldn't have actually fixed the fact that she made raw veal.
Well,
right?
But
like,
she was going to take it off the bone.
Yeah, she wanted
she
to cut
thought
it
would be more.
Earlier.
That's right.
Because the pieces were uneven sizes.
And it was a classic Top Chef edit too, where as soon as like they don't show a lot of the discussion, but they do show her. They do a close up on her where she's like, "Well, I would have taken it off, but okay."
And then you get that classic, like, metal brush on the ride cymbal, sing, that means,
this is important. You might want to watch this.
Also, Ron had my favorite line of the night, which is where he may be a really nice guy and, a good cook, but he's kind of scary in that he's very large, and he comes up right from behind people, leans over and goes, "Hey, how about we add some vanilla? Do you guys want to add some vanilla maybe to the puree or to the sauce?
That was another important moment and also just sounded terrible. The vanilla on the veal and vanilla puree.
Alex, it does prove your point that vanilla is a flavor.
It is a flavor.
It's the second most expensive spice in the world. I'm not making that up.
Is saffron the first?
Yep, behind saffron. Right. You have to extract the flat-leafed Mexican orchid seed pod and then ferment it, and it's a very labor-intensive process, vanilla.
Who was doubting you?
It's that he always the thing about like vanilla sex being like vanilla is a flavor. It's not just like default.
Vanilla
like
and plain are two totally different yogurts. That's my point.
Yeah.
In the world of yogurt,
something is vanilla. But let's try to bring it a little up. Let's do the next thing I want to talk about, you guys, is there's some happy stories in this episode. There was some redemption and some emerging strength, right? Mm. So let's talk about Katsuji's comeback today.
Go Pet Sushi.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I liked the Katsuji Mei like storyline because I feel like it showed us like what could have been if either Carrie Ann or Aaron had like been up to it. Because I feel like Mei really started out being like, oh man, I'm stuck with the clunkers and like, I don't know if this is going to work out. And she was super, super hard on everyone until she tried the sauce, at which point she was like, nope, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
That's the difference between being just like a qualified asshole and just an asshole. It's like, it turns out, this guy actually knows his shit. Yeah. Never mind. Yeah.
Other people can cook food.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, there are two important differences, I think. And one of them, as we touched on, is once she like tasted the sauce and it was good, she let go and she said, hey, that's great.
Yeah.
But the other is she insisted on tasting somebody else's food.
True.
Right. And she said,
you're right.
You know what?
Good catch.
I don't trust that this is going to be great, but instead of taking control, because I know that like I'm not going to waste time and emotional capital like trying to argue this, even if I would eventually win, I'm going to let him do it, but I'm going to be involved and tasting and advising on course corrections as needed. And that's like she's much more professional in that regard than Aaron or Carrie Ann.
I completely agree. I think she could have been a little nicer in the interviews.
Sure.
But everything else, and the fact that she was willing to admit she was wrong and just go with them, was actually a really beautiful moment on the show.
Oh, yeah. That was a beautiful moment. She was a little bit mean, just not in the interviews though beforehand.
Yeah,
like, you know, and there was a lot of. She does like an alarming amount of like grabbing her own face in like frustration with other people.
Yeah, totally, totally. It's sort of the visual equivalent of like a huge sigh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah, there's
although,
a lot of that.
Although, in her defense, both of them sucked a lot the day before. Yeah, and that's all she knows about
there
them.
Was impressive.
She got both of the bottom people.
Yeah, it wasn't like, oh, you know, I don't like him because, you know, she's a girl or something like that. It's like, you know, because they were on the bottom and one of them made a salad.
Yeah, one of them made a salad. And although Pet Sushi's line at the beginning of the show where he's in the stew room and he's like, I gave him a dish with 43 ingredients. And they're like, what did you call it? And he was like, tacos.
I love his man.
Also,
did you notice that? Sorry.
Oh no, it's fine.
Just Katie also had redemption because in the quickfire she ran into Katsuji and knocked his hot sauce on the floor, and then burned
his
hand,
like,
under his hand, which he needed to cook with.
Was that the redemption? Yeah. Was just burning Katsuji's hand?
No, redemption was just that she
they worked together.
She went on to do a good job.
Oh,
in
you
the
mean,
team.
Yeah, she redeemed herself from that.
She made another salad, but it was good this time.
Yeah, she made a good salad. Yeah.
Yeah, I was so nervous. Sorry, really quick. I was just so nervous about her making another salad. I was like,
me too.
Don't do it.
Yeah,
don't do it.
Yeah, I clenched.
Go ahead, Sarah.
I thought that too. But I was going to say, I have a big thumbs down, though, to Top Chef editing regarding Katsuji, because did anyone else feel like they made it sound like he called someone the C word when they bleeped him out?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I did hear that.
That was, because he like yelled a bunch of stuff when he got, like, she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then he was like, beep, 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 beep. And like, you couldn't really tell what's going on.
Yeah.
It really sounded like it. And I was very alarmed, but I don't think he actually said that.
Yeah. Cause I think there would have been more reaction from people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just like, doo, 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 all in a day's work in the kitchen.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some speculation involved here. I don't know which side to take, but that is weird. I mean, it did burn the shit out of his hand, I think, which is kind of a bummer.
You get a free, I think maybe for the next 5 seconds, you can say anything as long as you apologize right afterwards.
Exactly. I think that's true. And when you burn your hand that bad, for sure. Although, being mad at her, like, she wasn't being that reckless. Everyone is running all of the time. There are 30 chefs in this kitchen. Somebody's going to bump into somebody.
But she didn't use her turn signal.
Yeah, she also didn't. Yeah, she didn't yell like "hot behind" or "you're holding something hot and I'm behind you."
Hot behind.
I always yell "hot behind" in the kitchen.
No, people say that all the time.
Hot behind.
Definitely say "behind." I don't know. I've never
behind
heard, I've never
or hot.
Yeah, no, that's right. People are always yelling "hot behind" at me. I just thought it was a cooking term.
I think you might have to look into sexual harassment, Tanya.
Whenever I'm in the kitchen, people are always yelling "average to somewhat flat behind." So I don't know.
Flat behind, dumpy middle.
Yeah, it is weird that they say that. I don't know if I should take that. It's because I was making dumplings. I thought. Also. Also, you guys, from things that were from emerging strength this week, though, Maylin killed it again. She kept being awesome, and so did Schwood. It's another top two finish from him.
Schwood, you're just naming him after his glasses.
I can't remember his name. He's the Portland guy with
Gregory.
Gregory, yeah.
And you know, actually, who was it? Was it Doug and James in their little like twofer did quite well? And Doug was a top last time, and he was.
Yeah,
I think represented pretty well.
Yeah, he did a great job considering that the only words he used the entire episode were blue collar.
Yeah. Well, I'm blue collar.
We're really blue collar guys. A bunch of blue collar people. We're really proud to serve some blue collar people some blue collar food. Blue collar.
But he's wearing a blue shirt. I'm so happy to see the Portland people doing well. That is fun.
I like that. I hope that Doug and James like bromance continues. I want that to like to stick around for a while.
Just blossom.
It's not. I mean, it's not. It's Doug, James. And Swayze. They are all together. You can't
okay
avoid the Swayze in that equation.
I could bond with a dude if we both love Swayze.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that happened with us, actually.
And then Schwood would pour some vinaigrette over both of you that would really tie the whole thing together.
And he'd do it at the right time. He wouldn't do it too early.
Yeah, that was one of the more pretentious things Tom's ever said, which is like, we notice all the details, which is something that you might think, but the details you don't notice, you didn't know that you didn't notice them. So,
that's deep, man.
What?
Like we notice all the details that we notice and then talk about.
Exactly right. I notice all the details except for the four things that I didn't notice but are probably there. You never know.
He won't know that we don't know.
Yep. Right? Like, you know those pictures where it's like, find the 8 differences? And you're like, sunglasses, the hat, the feet are bigger, right? If mm-hmm. it just said, find some differences, you could be like, I found all 8. But what if it's a 12 differences?
What if there's, yeah. Mm.
But I also think, I feel like maybe Tom is trying to make a point about how much work they're doing in the moment to, like, analyze everything, because I feel like they get a lot of flack from viewers being like, well, clearly they didn't think about blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
And also, he was saying it in a positive context. He's like, I notice all the good things you do, not all of your flaws. He was saying, like, he noticed a really clever bit of chefery, apparently, in the timing of a vinaigrette.
It was
apparently.
Mostly time management.
Yeah. How do you guys think that the tone of the critique is changing since it's happening instantly? Because
so
I feel like...
So much more aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. It is more aggressive, but it's like 2 tiers of aggression. There's sort of like the quick bite right after they've eaten, and then I feel like they have a chance to like rub it in at judge's table.
Uh-huh.
Which is like kind of bizarre.
I was thinking that they were going to soften the things you say at least a little bit. Like when I'm at a restaurant, if you give me something terrible and the waiter asks how it is, I'm going to say, it's fine.
You'd even do it with that tone? That's like the meanest thing I've ever said to a waiter.
Yeah, so that's what I would do. But Tom was like, the garnishes are terrible. Like he was not pulling punches at all.
He said terrible a bunch of times. He was like really, there's no other word for it. It's just really the worst thing.
There's no other word for it. It's just terrible. That was pretty intense.
Yeah, Tom. And I believe him. I'm sure they were terrible. So it's kind of nice to know that he's being honest in his critiques.
Oh, no, he said for lack of a better word. That's what it was. I was like, well,
if I could find a word that was worse than terrible, I'd use it. I just can't do that right now.
I couldn't use a word that would be any more positive than terrible.
Terrible is the best
I
can do you.
Yeah. I liked that. Do you guys think it's changed anything in having all of the teams watching the bad judges table?
I think it's interesting also because they make the decision of who's going home, it seems, before they have any chef, before they're even talking to the winners.
Yeah, we talked about this a little last week.
Yeah, that they're clearly not, at least what we haven't seen yet is the chefs defend their dishes, and that might sway one way or the other. They've already made their decision about who's winning, who's not, who's going home, who's staying. And then it's really just the show.
Actually, part of that, too, was that at the table when they delivered the food, they were asked who did what on this plate, which sometimes they used to tell the judges' table, but now they can't because they're not going to change their decision.
Right, that's true.
So they have to know who did everything. So it was very clear that it was like, this is a team challenge that only matters how you personally did. Mm. Although that also... Yeah. Sorry, one more thing. It raises the question of that... I think I know how I feel about this, but I'd love your opinions. So how do you guys feel about them not being able to eliminate the worst thing overall, that it has to be worst dish, worst part? Because I feel like that jam would have been worst thing total.
Oh, yeah, because they said, like, Stacey, your chicken saved, like, agar-agar and corn.
Yeah,
mash.
Yeah. So if Stacey had done just, like, mediocre to bad chicken, they still probably would have sent the agar home. So do you guys think that they should be able to, like, do, like, a line item veto? Or do you like that it has to be team?
Then it wouldn't be a team challenge anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No. Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's true. It's sort of like other things that we do. The rules are arbitrary but strictly enforced.
Yeah.
If they say there's a team challenge, they will say up front, someone from the worst overall dish, the team with the worst overall dish, is going home. And they really do stick by that format.
That's true. I guess I think of the team challenges as a necessary evil. I always prefer individual things.
But I think it's a good, it's just such a good litmus test of like what people are like in that context and how they work together.
Yeah.
Cause there are so many team challenges that like the competition hinges on, like Restaurant Wars.
Yeah.
Is like another one that is just so important that way.
Well, so let's jump into let's do our predictions of the week. First, I just want to revisit some from last week. So we already mentioned this. Chris, you nailed it about the knife block coming back this week. Megan, you got it right about the knife block coming back at all. Sarah, I'm sorry to have to bring this up. Oh, she just stepped out.
Wait for it.
Okay, great. Well, first I'll say that my prediction from last week was that Nebraska Salad and Cat Sushi were both going to stay bad. Wah, wah. So I whiffed on that one. And Sarah, I hate to say this, but your prediction last week was that Joy will win 3 elimination challenges in a row.
I thought that I picked Joy. Damn it.
it's not too late, right?
She can still win 3 challenges.
Actually even know if there's a last chance. I haven't mentioned it.
We haven't heard anything about it yet. It seems like Joy might
They always wait until they have critical mass for last chance, however.
Well, that's true. They do that.
Sarah. Next time, you want to say that Douche Hat's going to win 3 challenges in a row?
Oh, good. Yes.
That's a good strategy.
Well, that was where I was going to go anyway for my prediction question this week. Who lasts longer, Blondie or Douche Hat?
I think Blondie.
I think she does,
I hope
too.
Blondie.
Yeah.
I hope. My heart says Blondie, but my brain says that Douche Hat lasts longer because there's no justice in the world.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, you're just really scarred.
Cool from, you're Top just, Chef justice is a weird kind of justice.
We're living in a post-Nicholas world. I understand that can't help but influence everything. But I think that Blondie has, I think, because she's had so many like weird ditzy moments already, I feel like she's going to turn it around and we're all going to have to.
She's due for a good showing.
Yeah.
She's in the pastry school, as we heard about 4 times in 4 seconds this week. She has a dessert background, which means she's not going to get fouled up by that.
That's true.
Was such an irritatingly prolonged conversation.
That was terrible. Here's the question about this.
With Douche Hat and Carrie Ann, is there a possibility that we're going to have like a sort of rom-com situation here where like it's like they meet, they hate each other, they talk about pastry school, and then later, maybe, turns out caught in a rainstorm.
I did the
Boston Common.
This did float through my mind, but then we also have to remember that she is going to be missing her kids in roughly 2
That's true. Okay,
seconds.
Yeah, it's less likely then.
Yeah.
I did. This did cross my mind, too. While Megan and I were watching it, I kept yelling, just kiss already! But in truth, I think that part of rom-coms is a little misleading, and I think generally people should date people they get along with.
Yeah, it's a great question, right? Like, we know, like, you know, like, men and women, can they be friends? But also, men and women, can they be enemies?
That's a great question. Yeah, we don't let people be enemies. When they're enemies, we think they must act secretly.
Yeah, well, we have to shoehorn in that romance the guy's just doing.
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, we'll save that for later, but one more prediction question. Redemption and fall aparts. Who do we have? Who's up for those things? Who do you think? Do we have anybody who you think is going to come back? The elimination bottoms are pretty evenly spread out because of a team challenge. There were 6 people on the bottom this week, so we've covered almost everybody. Mm-hmm.
Two-thirds of the field. I mean, 40% of the field.
The only person who we've not heard from at all so far is Aaron, who's not been in the top or the bottom for anything.
Wait, douchebag?
Yeah.
That's true.
Wait, he was just in the bottom.
Adam was in the bottom.
Adam was.
Oh, Adam.
Yeah, Aaron is different.
Yeah, I don't. We actually
too many chefs.
No, because he's from North Hollywood. I remember when he was being a jerk. I was like, oh, he's from North Hollywood.
He's been the center of drama, but he hasn't been. Or he was in the bottom this time.
Yeah, that is Aaron. So who was I thinking? Adam.
You're thinking of Adam.
Who's Adam?
He must be.
Adam is.
Who
is
Adam?
Adam was the guy with the bandana and the crowd. Yeah. Oh. That's who I am. So
no,
I just
still don't remember him.
I just
hipster guy.
In the wrong place.
Yeah. I think the guy who added the vanilla, I think he might be next to go.
I think he's going to flame out. I feel like he's going to get shouty because he's already got a lot of like clenched fist stuff going on.
Here's my unlikely prediction. My long shot is that May will be in elimination bottom next week.
Ooh.
For a reason that might be a little bit iffy, right? And it will be her call to action, I guess.
I believe your prediction last week, Chris, was that her headband game was going to falter and that would be her downfall. Is this a related prediction? Do you think her headband will bring her down this week?
Falter?
There's a lot of dark timelines for May.
The darkest timeline.
The darkest time on May.
Alex, do you remember what my prediction was? Who did I say was going to win it all?
I didn't write down your prediction because it was something that hadn't come true or false yet, so I don't remember exactly what it was. But I don't think... I don't. Yours was that someone was going to lose and then win all the way through. Here's what it was. It was your prediction last week was that last week's eliminated chef
George
was going to go undefeated through.
Oh, he's
going to
run the table. Okay,
kitchen.
Great.
So that's still a chance. Probably not.
And the person he's going to meet in the finale then is going to be a rare team-up moment of Doug and James. They're going to be able to join into one contestant. They're going to have to wear...
they're just wearing a long coat and one's on the other's shoulders.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe three-legged pants along with it. Or
Doug's not very tall.
Well... then they'll be an average-sized chef. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say that Melissa, who we haven't heard much from, she's the side shave.
Shave
side head.
I feel like she's gonna get Skrillex. In there.
I think side head because we haven't heard much of anything from her these first two episodes, and usually on Top Chef that means someone is about to choke really hard. Because they get angry about not being noticed, and so they go way out on a limb and they screw up. So I'm saying Melissa's on the bottom next week. I'm also going to say Stacy, who actually has chicken. One quickfire bottom and one elimination bottom. I say she's in the top next week because that chicken was so good.
Yeah, top chicken.
And got dragged down. I think she's got the fire now.
Well, and I think we're going to find out who Rebecca is.
Yeah.
Who is Rebecca?
Yes.
Who is Rebecca?
Who is Rebecca?
She has a brown ponytail. Yeah. Hmm.
Yes.
Rebecca was on the blue team. I don't remember what part she made. But she was on the winning team.
She didn't cook the meat because Gregory... No, she...
Gregory did the vinaigrette.
She did the garnish?
And Parson, did the scallops.
Adam did the... Or who did the steak?
Scallops. Maybe she did the scallops.
Yeah. Did someone do the steak and she did the scallops? Or no, she did the vegetables. Didn't she do the vegetables?
Oh, yeah. She did the vegetables.
Well,
yeah.
This is a good way to forget somebody is they did veg and it wasn't terrible.
Oh wait, we have heard from Adam because he was a top in this week's elimination.
Yeah, he was. He was actually.
Dry crab snacks?
Yeah,
he was dry crab snacks.
But he also cooked the steak for the surf and turk, and everybody thought it was great. The surf and turk.
Yeah. I just had a check mark in the wrong place in our cheat sheet.
It's just a guy from Turkey who surfs.
Yeah. Surf and turk. All right, so Lastly, let's do some shout-outs. Let's do some listener mail, you guys. First of all, Jay, by email, which is podcast@read-weep.com. Did we have a Pack Your Mics email from last time?
I don't think we do.
No, I think it was...
Okay, podcast@read-weep.com.
Write into that and tell us if we had an email or not.
If you write in to Read It Weep and you start talking Top Chef, we'll know.
We'll know. So Jay sent by email last week. He was like, how did you guys miss... Well, first of all, he said he liked having us back. He's excited about that. And then he said, fail to mention Padma spitting out her food last week?
Oh, yeah.
Which was a rare, glorious moment.
That's true. She just does everything so elegantly.
You just missed it.
Yeah, right. It's just
so it looked so beautiful.
I was like, sorry, did a whisper of silk just pass by?
And here's why I'm pissed. Like, we don't have any slow motion shots in this version. We had it all in duels, but it wouldn't be great to get out the phantom cam for when Adam was just like slowly spitting out. You know, 240 frames a second.
I feel like she must have just, didn't she just like do it into her napkin or something? Yeah, like, it was very
and
like,
she seemed
classy.
Apologetic. It was like the opposite of a Gordon Ramsay, where he would be like, this is bland. Watch me spit it out in front of you.
Wait, side note. Tanya, T-shirt. Top Chef judges do it into their napkins.
Nope.
Nope.
I'm going to pass like on this one. I'm going to fine you 1,000 mic bucks.
And then you can, and then you just wear it with short shorts that say hot behind.
Yeah.
All right. Tanya's redeemed you. She gets your 1,000 mic bucks.
Okay. Wait.
Oh, I have a prediction though about something. I think that they're going to get more creative with what people win in order to avoid immunity. So instead of just money, I feel like they're going to be other weird things. Like they're going to be more like signed books or like
karate lessons.
Yeah.
And will they just keep saying next, there's no immunity this week.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, you're going to get a buoy in Boston Harbor named after you. Like, things like that.
Oh, I'd like that.
That would be amazing.
I would cook
your
well
name
for that.
On a star in the official star registry. Also, this car wash punch card with only one hole left.
Their budget's really going down.
We're
going
to make a donation in your name to Green Dog Rescue.
Just watch some dogs wrestle. I like that idea. I wonder if there's anything else in the show that you could get, like maybe some more like small advantages, that, like they do later in the show sometimes, where it's like you get extra peanut butter or whatever.
I think or you get like you get a shred of dignity that Nicholas left behind. Here you can have this.
What if you actually got like 2 hours more sleep?
Oh, that's nice.
Ooh, I like a sleep-in privilege. That's pretty. That's clever. Mm-hmm.
how about this? What if in your next drama, you just win the fight? Right? You just automatically get to be, no matter what, you're just right.
Next time somebody's getting a villain edit, you automatically don't.
Yeah, you're just right.
Yeah. We had some Swayze, but there was no Blazy.
Yeah, Blazy.
Richard Blaze was conspicuously absent this episode.
What if your prize for winning the quickfire was choosing which judge was around next time?
Not Blaze. Not Blaze.
Who was on fourth mic for the judges?
So we had Padma, Tom, Gail, and we had Dante. His name is Dante de Magistris, who owned the restaurant they were in.
Was the restaurant called The Cove?
No,
it was called like.
I see where you're going.
his title said of
Dante's Cove.
Dante's Cove. I love the idea that's how they welcome you. You walk in and they're like, "I have a reservation for Dante's Cove. Dante's Cove."
Well, getting back to our shout-outs, we got also on Twitter, which is at Pack Your Mics. Right?
Yes,
I think so.
That is exactly what it is.
We got a tweet from Chosen Chic who said she gave us her feels dump from last week, and she said,
"I'm so glad we called it that."
Yeah, me too. Yeah. No immunity quickfires, return of the knife block, and instant feedback. I'm ready to forgive Top Chef for the Nick mess of last season, which is a great, if somewhat, I don't know. Maybe you're caving too early, Chosen Chic. Maybe
guys, how about if Nick gets his own show, Nick at Knife?
Oh.
I'm going to allow it.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Also,
except
I don't want
that a lot of people will mistake that for wish fulfillment.
Yeah, I would love it if he never showed up on Top Chef again. They just pretended he didn't exist, sort of the opposite of the Blaze debacle. Ooh,
yeah, because his neck is only going to get thicker with his newfound fame.
Thick neck Nick.
Thick neck Nick.
Thick neck Nick at Knife.
All right, if you want your shout-outs read on the podcast, send us email. podcast@read-sweep.com
we'd love to hear from you.
We really
What are your predictions, guys? And how do you guys feel about Blaze? I really want to know more from the fans.
Even though he wasn't on this week, he did do like a post-show interview, like they did a bonus video where he interviewed Joy afterwards, and I didn't watch it because I felt like I'd gotten enough Blaze for a week.
Maybe we should ask the listeners what they would want to win instead of immunity.
That's a great question. Mm. I'd also love to hear who you think is going to redeem or fall apart, and who you pick in the Blondie versus Douche Hat last longer bet. So
who is last week's elimination eliminated challenger? Who are they going to meet in the finale?
Yeah, I'd love to hear all of your predictions. I really do want that. So, and also facebook.com/packyourmics. All of those ways will get to us and get us on the show. Lastly, final thoughts. Anybody? Let's start in San Francisco. Final thoughts.
I'm enjoying this.
Good.
I still feel like I don't know anybody. So yeah. Give me another episode.
I can't say I like care super much, but it seems fun. Like I was looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, totally. That's good to hear. Brooklyn, what's your final thoughts?
I liked this one a lot better, and I think it was the absence of Blaze and like a challenge that I could kind of get my head around. I like the challenges where they're serving a regular amount of food as opposed to like a several thousand people come to a tent in like the middle of summer.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, me too.
The more restaurant and less catering style challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I appreciated the way this was structured because I felt like I did learn a lot about everyone but Rebecca. Mm. So
I have another great prediction.
Uh-huh.
So listening to Tanya's feedback. Instead of, catering challenges with, 250 dishes, they're just going to do it, trough style, where it's 250 servings in one big container.
Isn't that wasn't that the broccoli salad?
Family of horses.
You can't use your hands.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be bonding for the chefs. Adam will look great doing it.
All right. Brooklyn, we're on your final thoughts.
Oh, the level of cooking continues to stay strong. I have really bullish thoughts on this season.
Yeah.
At the same time, I have no idea who Rebecca is, nor half the people on the TV. So I can't wait for this just to scoot its way along.
For episode 2, I mean, this is every first season of Top Chef is like kind of like not quite involved with anybody emotionally yet, except for bad ones usually. Although I do feel like I'm pretty invested in Katsuji and Shwood and Patrick Swayze, and I really hate that hat guy. So those are my final thoughts.
Yeah, that's pretty good, dude.
Yeah. How about you, Megan?
Megan, do you have a final thought?
I would like to see if Katie is going to make a salad next week again.
What do you think?
Yes or no?
Will she have learned her lesson? Is the big
well, she has two chances to make a salad.
She's got,
so.
She's got a one bad salad, one good salad. So
I'm gonna make a brave prediction. Next week, Katie cooks a dessert.
Whoa!
No.
Even drunk Caleb thinks that's a weird prediction.
Yeah,
he was really surprised.
He was super surprised by that.
And yeah, I was really impressed, especially the first three dishes that came out. The judges seemed like really impressed with them.
Yeah, the first three teams all nailed it.
So yes, that was really exciting.
Yeah, including the two-person team of Doug and James and Patrick Swayze. Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm enjoying it too. I feel like I know people a little better just from doing all the prep and our cheat sheets and stuff. I feel like I've actually gotten some grip on it, but I wouldn't have otherwise. It's just so early in the season. But I'm really rooting for Katsuji. He's like won me over 100%. That taco thing was so funny.
He's winning most adorable, but I'm not sure he's winning best decision making.
No, but like,
I'm not convinced by his food in the slightest. Like he made a sauce.
Yeah, he made a sauce, and then he made a sauce.
Yeah, but you got to do more. You just got to do more.
Maylin was impressed, and she seems like a tough cookie.
Yeah, but I need him to do that a few more times before I'm going to be like, fair. Yeah, and he should win.
Yeah,
like he's
fair.
I'm fine for quips, but food needs to happen.
That's fair. Well,
that's not going to make it on a t-shirt.
It's all right, Tanya. Just remember, you've got a hot behind.
I got hot behind.
Thank you guys so much.
When
listening.
You say it like that, sounds like a medical condition.
I'm sorry, Tanya. It's terminal.
It's certainly hot behind.
Thank you guys so much for listening. PackYourMics.com and let us know. Oh, that's another way you get a hold of us is just go to PackYourMics.com and comment on this post. And we really appreciate it. Also, PackYourMics.com/Amazon if you want to buy something and support us. Give us a couple bucks. It's nice of you. Chris, I was going to tell you to pack your mics and go, but you did win immunity, and so there's no elimination this week, but you'll be eliminated twice next week.
Oh. Okay.
Also, at some point, Ezra
I'm having a really good run.
At some point, Ezra has to give Tanya 1,000 mic bucks, because that's the current debt.
That's right.
But she redeemed me. I don't know how that...
She redeemed herself via you.
Yep.
She's a very different person of the Redeemer.
Yes. All right.
It's great for the Redeemer.
All right. That's it. Thank you guys so much. Let us know your opinions. We want to hear them. Bye.
Woo.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye, Caleb.
Oh, good timing, sweetie.